Podcast. Thank you for having me, Joe.
Hi, welcome to the Podcast. I am Joe Posnanski, and with me is Michael Shore. Michael, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
You're welcome. You're
now,
welcome.
Can I explain why I just said thank you for having me, Joe, instead of Joe, thanks for having me, which I usually do?
Yes, I'd like to know what the difference is.
I was dragged, as the kids say, on Twitter recently because the song, our intro song, Podcast, it ends with thank you for having me, Joe. And someone dragged me on Twitter by saying when I say Joe, thanks for having me, it makes it seem like I'm like contradicting the music.
Oh, wow.
And I never thought about that before. And as you know, the last thing I want to do is contradict my own theme song.
Of course. I mean, that goes without saying.
So from now on, if I remember, which I won't, but I intend to always say thank you for having me, Joe, so that it matches the intro theme song.
Wow. That's very thoughtful of you, by the way.
This is already like a groundbreaking podcast, and we're just getting started.
Okay, so here's the thing I think about the podcast. We often say negative things about our own show because we know it's terrible and all of that. But I think one thing that we have been consistently good about from the very beginning, from the very first podcast, has been, I think we've been very honest with our listeners, right? I mean, I don't feel like we've ever... We're very upfront. We don't lie to them. We tell you this show is going to be terrible and we might not even record it and right. Whatever. We're very honest. I think we need to be honest up front and tell people that this show has a chance to be the biggest disaster we've ever had. I just think we ought to be able to just let them know before we even get started. Like, you're listening to this and you think it's going to be this kind of a real typical disaster, but we have a chance to make this a very special disaster.
I think you're right. This could be a super exciting, like a groundbreaking disaster. But before we get into why it is going to be a disaster, we should do our Browns update, right?
Absolutely.
Let's do that first.
Let's do the Browns update.
Let's check in on the Cleveland Browns. How are they doing?
So the Browns... they lost again. They're 0-14 now, and they lost pretty convincingly to the Baltimore Ravens, who are the one team that you would like them to beat because the Ravens were the Browns at one point, and they've since gone on and won Super Bowls and done all sorts of things that the Browns will never, ever do, and they're annoying and horrifying. But they had no chance, and they played terribly, and then afterward the game was just, you know, it was awful. And then, all right, so that's bad enough that I had to endure that. Then I get an email, a text, I guess, from you,
right,
saying, oh my God, the NFL is so stupid. It's so stupid. It's just a stupid, stupid league, right? And I'm like, well, of course it is. Yeah, I mean, that goes without saying. I don't know specifically what you're referring to. And then you told me specifically what you're referring to and made me go and look at the highlights at the end of the Patriots Steelers game, and I'm the worst for it. You've broken me. You've totally broken me.
Yeah, I think that it was a punishment, and for me, because of what happened was as we have talked about, I have not watched the NFL this year, nor have you. You've watched Browns games. I have not watched almost anything. I've really, really watched almost no football. But, you know, Patriots Steelers week 15, winner likely gets home field or is in the driver's seat for home field.
Huge game.
It's those things where it's like, look, what happened, Joe, is I had a weakness. Like I had a weakness and it was exposed. And my weakness went something like this. It was like Patriots Steelers, you know, how many more games does Tom Brady have that are like big, these huge games? He's 40 years old and who knows? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. I tune into the game and I see the dumbest, I mean, a thing that benefits my team, a thing that 10 years ago I would have been giddy and jumping up and down and so happy, but it brought me no joy at all. It brought me nothing but sadness because the NFL did it to me again, where there is a thing that happens in basketball. If you dunk a basketball 999,999 times out of a million, it's like, congratulations, you dunked a basketball.
You dunked the ball, yes.
Every single touchdown, every single play in the NFL is now litigated and observed and parsed. And it's one of those, like, you've been anti-replay your whole life, I believe.
Yes.
And I have often yelled at you and said, that's absurd. Like, they got to get the calls right. That's the only thing that matters, is that you got to get the calls right. And now I've gone the other way. Now I'm like, this, it should go back. I'd rather have calls missed than have what happened in that game happen, even though it benefited my team, for the simple reason that everybody knew that was a touchdown. That's just a touchdown. I don't care. I don't care how you define it or describe it, or the survive the ground or the football move or the securing the ball or the whatever. It's just that it's like, at some point it's like Sassine Pazun Peep. It's like, yes, that's a pipe. I'm sorry, that's a pipe. Like, it looks like it's a painting of a pipe, and that's a pipe. And so I feel like I had a moment of weakness and I got burned, and it really disturbed me. And so forget about the Browns. I don't care about the Browns. Who cares about the Browns? But I just had another moment of hating the NFL.
Yeah, no, it was awful. It was awful. Specifically, the play was a pass from Ben Roethlisberger to the tight end Jesse James, who caught the ball, held on to the ball, fell to the ground, had one knee hit the ground, had the second knee hit the ground, stretched and put the ball, it was untouched, stretched and put the ball over the goal line. The ball broke the plane of the goal line. And then he fell to the ground and the ball kind of moved around a little bit under his hand.
Right.
And they said, that's not a touchdown. Here's how unhappy this made me. It made me so unhappy that even that night, when the referees decided to use a note card to determine whether a play had gotten a first down or not.
Yeah. Another
which
thing
normally
that
would make me tremendously happy, right? That nothing would make me happier than using a stupid note card to determine whether or not a play is right. Brought me no joy. I have no joy for this league. This league is, they've broken me.
Here's the thing, just to put a fine point on this. If he catches that ball and lands on his butt and waits like a third of a second, and then reaches out and the same thing happens, it's a touchdown, right? Because
right.
It was like,
right.
it was the fact that the movement to the ground was continuous. So he was actually penalized essentially for trying to score. Because if he had caught the ball and just fell onto his butt, because no one had touched him. So if he just fell onto his butt, waited a half a second, and then reached out across the goal line, it would have been he would have turned from a receiver into a runner. And then the ball would have broken the plane and he would have scored a touchdown and the Steelers would have home field advantage in the AFC playoffs. But that's how dumb the football rules are.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you're speaking English, but I don't understand a word you're saying. I don't know why he was a runner, not a runner. I don't know. I don't understand it. But I guess the big question is, you a Browns fan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I should have said this. I'm all in on the Browns. Yes, I'm totally in. I'm all in on the Browns.
By the way, the general manager of the Browns, John Dorsey, went on the radio and basically said, hey, we're going to have to get better players here. The previous administration, they didn't get us real players, so we need to get real players. And which to me is odd. It's obvious. They're 0-14. They went 1-15 last year. Obviously, they need like real players. That's a true statement. That's not controversial in any way. He got hammered, totally hammered for like insulting the previous people and what they had did and the good work they'd accomplished and all the good players the Browns have gotten. I mean, it's a bad time to be like a Browns fan, but it's like a bad time to be a football fan. I'm not happy.
I kind of wish he had come out and said, look, our players are fine. Everything is great. We have all the pieces are in place. The only thing we need to improve is our punt coverage team. Like there's just that if we do that, I feel like next year we're going all the way.
I think what we need is a little bit of a joyous draft to sort of take us out of this negative NFL vibe that we're in, and we're gonna have that. We're gonna have what are we doing? Are we insane? What are we doing? We are having a draft. We are drafting holiday songs. I can tell you that right up front, because the surprise is how many people we have on here. drafting. So I'm going to introduce our guests who will be taking part in the first annual holiday draft. By the way, there's no such thing as first annual. That's a stupid thing. But I'm going to say it anyway. So first person we have on here is we have from NPR, but more importantly, podcast special senior correspondent. Is that right? Am I saying that right?
Do you remember, Linda? I don't even remember what you are. What are you?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Our special senior correspondent who is, she's done wonders making this podcast way better in the past. I don't even think Linda, I don't think you can save this one. This is, we're in bad shape.
I'm excited. It's a really, really, it's a really good idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
that's absolutely and very obviously not true.
Not true.
You should say her full name, by the way. You didn't even say it's Linda Holmes from NPR.
Yeah, no, it is Linda Holmes, and I work at NPR, and I'm very upset that nobody took Tina Turner in the We Are the World draft.
Oh, I don't.
Oh,
I don't
she was Tina Turner was number two or three on my board, but then,
oh, she was.
Yes,
but, oh, then, but then Joe you tanked it.
Yeah, then Joe did something and I tanked it. Bob Geldof.
As usual, the first thing that I always do when I join the podcast is to relitigate the previous podcast.
This is true.
And so I just had to get that. So I just had to get that out.
Look, Linda, I mean, Tina Turner was on my board too, but because only one other person took the draft seriously, I just couldn't get to her. I just couldn't. I had her. She was there. But,
yeah,
you know, there you go. The other person who did take that seriously is with us as well. Atlanta Braves pitcher, Brandon McCarthy. Brandon, welcome.
Thank you, Joe. And that's weird to hear said out loud. That's the first time I've heard that.
It was weird to say. It was weird. So I have to ask you. I mean, you were traded like 12 minutes after the podcast, which I believe is connected. I mean, I don't blame us. I do blame us for the deal. Was it completely out of the blue, or like what was sort of your instant reaction to the whole thing?
Completely out of the blue. I definitely think it was this podcast. Once the stink of this podcast gets on you, your employer immediately fires you.
I want to say for the record that I texted Brandon right after I read the news. I texted Brandon, do you think this is because you took Kenny Loggins in the World Draft? And he didn't write back. And then I was like, no, I've definitely offended him. And I think this is the end of the friendship.
I just see them discussing the trade and then, you know, somebody in Atlanta saying, took Loggins, man. I don't know. I mean,
we sure want this guy?
Joe, can I say something about the Browns real quick? This is because they're now becoming my favorite, the tragedy of the Browns, and doing this now in back-to-back weeks. Last week when we brought this up, I just Googled just a simple Cleveland Browns, and the first headline to come up was Packers rally to stun winless Browns. And I thought that was great because they've won one game in 2 years. You cannot stun a team that...
Nobody was stunned.
I actually Googled Cleveland Browns again, and the first headline, which is sadder than anything that's come up, is report Jeff Fisher wants NFL return, could be eyeing Browns. And the idea that someone could actually make this Browns team worse, it would be Jeff Fisher. And that's the ray of hope on the Browns horizon. So,
well, look, if the Browns are gonna hire anybody to replace Hugh Jackson, they should definitely hire the guy who, when he left the team that he was previously coaching, that team suddenly became amazing. Like that's like that is an absolutely perfect Cleveland Browns hire. Is like if people ever the biggest story in football is what got into the Rams, and the answer seems to be Jeff Fisher left. So that is the guy the Browns should take. I will also add, by the way, Joe sent me this stat. Listen to this. I know we're so far away from getting to this crazy draft spell, but the Browns are 41 and 121 in their last 162 games.
It's unbelievable.
If they lose their last two games, they will end up in their last 162 games. The record will be 39 and 123, which is a worse record than the 1962 Mets.
Yeah, they will be worse than the worst baseball team ever. That's
over 10, but that's over 10 years.
Over 10 years and six coaches and nine quarterbacks. And it's just glorious. All right. You would think that it would be enough just to have the delightful Linda Holmes and the Atlanta Braves starting pitcher Brandon McCarthy on this draft. But the draft only begins there. by the way, do you like that, the way I did that? Okay.
Nice.
We have my good friend, Mike DiCenzo, showrunner for The Tonight Show. And I got to say, early on, heavy favorite to win this draft, because Mike is an expert of holiday songs. That's how I met him, actually. He was working on his holiday song work, and that was how we ran across. Mike, first of all, welcome.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on this. Long-time listener, first-time participator.
Oh, it's great to have on you. But I do have a question for you, and this is actually one you and Mike can answer. Showrunner, that's a terrible title. That's a horrible. And Mike, and Mike, you're also. I mean, isn't like your official title showrunner? Isn't that right?
First of all, well, it seems pretty obvious to me, Joe, that when you're talking to two people named Mike on a podcast, that you need Michael. To delineate them somehow. Mike D, Mike S, whatever, anything, yeah, but just going, hey, Mike. And by the way, two Mikes who are also showrunners. So
showrunners.
Like, you couldn't be botching this worse so far.
It's not going to be good. All right. So seriously, showrunner, it's a brutal name.
Who are you talking to?
Both of you. Both of you. The two showrunners.
It's not really the actual title, really. It's more of an informal title.
Oh.
But it does kind of describe what you do.
It sounds like you're just running around. That's it. It really does. It just sounds like you're like taking things from person to person. I don't know. I just think both of you, Michael and Mike, are well worthy of trying to come up with, you know, something a little bit more that fits your stature.
Like Overlord?
Sure. I'm good with Overlord. All right. You would think that would be enough just to have Mike D and Linda and Brandon. But no, we also have with us critic, superstar, and Yankee lover, Alan Sepinwall. Alan, welcome.
I wasn't sure if I should have come back, because when last I was discussed on this podcast, Joe was telling me to rot in hell.
No, yeah, that was me. That was me, I
no,
think.
No, I believe you had said that Aaron Boone could rot in hell.
Oh.
Yes.
And I played off of that by saying Alan Sepinwall could also
okay,
rot in hell.
For the record, I think Alan should also rot in hell.
See, and this would really hurt my feelings, but you know what? The Yankees got Giancarlo Stanton for nothing.
Yeah, you have there are no feelings. You have no feelings. Everything is just joy and glory and wonder for you. Your team they're ridiculous. And now, are they just going to get Garrett Cole because they just want him? I mean, they're just going to get pitchers, whoever they want.
Maybe, but really the only reason I'm doing this podcast in the first place is so that I could share airtime with former Yankees ace Brandon McCarthy. So this is really cool that I get to do this.
He's using us, Joe. He's using us to just meet a guy who played for his team. This is like, that's how cocky the Yankee fans are. They're like, I'll do what, it doesn't matter. I know I'm not like they don't even have to pretend to have feelings and empathy for other people now. They just are doing whatever they want with complete impunity.
I think it's been that way for a while. I got I was on a show earlier today, and the question was, it was like a two-part, it wasn't even a question, like two-part statement/question. And the first part was, the Yankees will be making a huge mistake if they trade Clint Frazier. That was the first part of the question. Be making a huge, huge blunder. Clint Frazier is going to be a superstar in this league. Big thing. And then the second question/comment was, the Yankees are going to win the division by 10 games. So even though he knows they're going to trade Clint Frazier, they're still going to win by 10 games. I guess if they kept Clint Frazier, they'd win by 30 games maybe or something. I don't know.
Got it.
Alan, defend.
Look, we tried being humble. We tried being nice and fucking underdoggy, and nobody wanted that. So I'm now going to lean into being a heel, because that seems to be what you want in this podcast.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
You're right. Yeah, that's right. No, that's right. That's
okay,
correct.
So here's how this is going to work, as I understand it. Basically, Joe is taking himself out of the draft. He is not a GM. He is Mel Kiper Jr. He is going to direct the draft, and he's going to give analysis maybe of the picks after the draft. And he's going to call on people so that we can keep the chaos to a minimum. We're also only drafting three holiday songs instead of five because
there's a million people on this podcast.
Yes, because I leave for a family trip on December 27th and we have to wrap this up before then. So Joe, basically everyone's going to chill out and Joe's going to direct traffic. This is the first ever five-way draft of holiday songs. Take it away, Joe.
Oh, it's exciting. Just exciting the disaster this will be. So I have pulled the order to let our listeners know the order. We are starting. Linda had won the first pick. Brandon has the second pick. Mike D with the third pick. Alan Sepinwall with the fourth pick. And Michael Shore, surprisingly, with the fifth pick in the draft. Sorry, it's the way it works. So let's just get this thing started. We are drafting holiday songs. The only thing I will say at the front is when you take a song that is your song, even if you only like one version of that song and don't like any other versions, that's fine. You can say that, but that song is yours. So nobody else can take I like the Sinatra version of that same song. That is the only rule that we have in this draft is you can't do that. All right, Linda. You kick it off. You have the first pick in the draft. Very exciting.
Oh, this is tough. This is tough. First of all, I want to thank you for waiting for me. I was a few minutes late.
Yeah, what was the deal with that?
Yeah, I had an emergency here at the radio network, which consisted of them needing 2 minutes of commentary on the 20th anniversary of Titanic. Which, if all goes as planned, will have aired on the radio by the time you hear this podcast.
Well, yeah, you might not hear this podcast ever, so there's a good chance of that. But
exactly.
Wait a minute. So, like, they literally just realized today when they woke up, they're like, "Oh, hey, this is the 20th anniversary of this thing."
Well, no, it's more like they realize that there's a hole in the show.
Oh, I see.
And they say, "We have like a 2 minute. We have like a 2 minute space for like a piece of whimsical content, and I am the whimsy correspondent. So they come to me, and then we work it out. That is, that's how it works.
Well, without giving us away too much, are you like one of the top 5% fans of Titanic?
No, not really. No, not really. But you know, I don't have to be a fan of it to put together opinions about it.
Because you're a pro.
That's right. So so thank you for waiting. This was very tough. Very, very, very tough. A lot of pressure. And in the end, I decided to go with Joy to the World because you can have both your upbeat versions. And also, if you've ever heard like a nice melancholy version, there are some very nice melancholy versions. So that's my pick. It's very easy to sing. It's very easy to harmonize on. I learned about harmonizing, you know, by listening to my mother be able to, do harmony to Christmas carols. So that's what it is. Joy to the World. That's my first pick. I stand by it. Suck it, haters, etc.
Wow. Wow. So are you going to come on next week to rip your own pick? Like this is, this clearly seems to be the thing. Mike Shore,
yes.
Michael Shore, how do you feel about that pick?
She's already blown it. I'm going to try not to do this every time, but just for the record, Linda's already blown it. She's already lost the draft. That this is this is Ryan Leaf. Let's just put it that. This is Ryan Leaf all over again. But anyway, I don't want to delay things. Brandon's up next. Let's go to Brandon.
All right, so we go to Brandon McCarthy. Brandon, you. By the way, when you get your pick, you can, if you would like, first comment on the pick before you, if you would prefer to do it that way, or you can just go ahead and pick. Brandon, you're the reason we're doing this draft because of how much you love holiday music. So you got basically the first pick because nobody would have taken Joy to the World. So what is your first pick?
So the first thing is that we're doing this because I like Christmas music is ridiculous that this is being inflicted upon other people and actually trying to judge, like quantify songs, I realize is impossible. Two, Linda's title of whimsy correspondent at NPR, someone needs that title on this podcast because that's one of the greatest titles I've ever heard with anything. So if she blew that pick, I'm going to go way off the board because this is impossible. And I have to kind of lean into my terrible musical taste. I have to take Christmas Eve in Sarajevo with Trans-Siberian Orchestra, which this is, it's just a ridiculous pick, but it's rare that you can get a Christmas song that kicks ass. And that does it, where you could actually work out to a Christmas song. So that makes it as good as any song out there. Brandon, free, I'll turn off my mic. You guys, just
you might just want to walk out into a Trans-Siberian Orchestra concert. I have a feeling that across the board, that every single person on this podcast would like to say something awful about your pitch. So. Why don't we start with you, Linda? What did you think of that pick?
That's like, there's whimsy. This is so there's great. There's whimsy, and then there's that. Like, it's a wow with a thousand O's.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty major wow. It's a pretty major. Wow. Okay. So do we want to just keep ripping on Brandon for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, or we want to go? I think we want to keep going.
I mean, what else is there to say? Like, he just – Deshaun Watson was sitting there at number two, and instead he took the, like
– Ryan Leaf.
No, he took, like, he didn't even take a football player. He took, like, the – the Lithuanian basketball team rights to LaMelo Ball.
Oh. Wow. All right. Well, you know, I came in with a prediction, asked my Mel Kiper, that Mike DeCenzo was the favorite in this draft. And Mike, basically, you got the first pick of the draft. It's wide open.
Yeah. I will not ever judge anyone's Christmas song taste because, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion and it's all good. But I can't, having said that, I can't believe that I didn't think that this song would fall to me. I figured it would be one of the first ones off the board. I wasn't even prepared to take it, but I feel an obligation. I have to. I'm going to take Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues.
Oh, such a good song. Such a good song.
It's one of the best, if not the best, Christmas songs. I love it. It covers every emotion possible. It's sad. It's happy. It's angry. It's romantic, hopeful, regretful. There's awful language in there, but it's also a very tender song. You could sing along to it. You can listen to it quietly. That's my pick.
I like it. Look, I don't know how others feel about this, but it's interesting because we're going with, you got like the traditional type thing, which is Linda clearly is going to be our traditional person. You got Brandon. And then...
I have a strategy, dude. I have a strategy.
I like it. No, I like it. I like it. And then you got Mike D going big for like the sort of the coolest sort of alternative Christmas thing. So
those are my jams. I feel like I've listened to so much Christmas music that just the traditional songs sort of bore me a little bit. So I kind of need the songs that are like, I could listen to it any day of the year, like, and I'll still love it.
No, I like it. I like it. All right. Well, Alan, you got the fourth pick. Where are you going?
I'm shocked. I had a whole draft board written, and as soon as I found out I was picking fourth, it kind of threw a lot of my strategy out the window because I figured, all right, there's no way any of the things I want in the first round, the second round, or the third round are going to be here. My number one pick is still sitting there. I can't not take Christmas Baby Please Come Home by Darlene Love.
That's a great one.
There you go.
But it's just like, of all the different, you know, Phil Spector wall of sound Christmas songs, it's fantastic. It puts me in a great mood. Christmas is not even my holiday, and I hear this song, and I think, wow, I really want to go and get a tree right now and put it in the corner and listen to some more of Darlene Love. It's fantastic.
We cannot pass up the opportunity. Mike D, this is your moment. He's talking about the Darlene Love song. What just happened on the Tonight Show?
He was just on our show last night. She did a Classroom Instruments version of Christmas Baby Please Come Home with Jimmy and the Roots and Anna Kendrick.
Kendrick. It's really
good. I love it because you just see how much Darlene Love just actually loves singing that song and performing it. So it was really cool.
Think about how many times Darlene Love has sang that song. Right, I mean, this so song many, is like from still, 63, and she's still doing it with like energy, like.
And I still believe she loves performing it. So there's no, you know, it's not jaded at all. She's just She loves it. It's a great song. It's a great pick.
It is a great. I think it's a good pick too. I'm giving it to you, Alan. I'm a totally good pick. Michael Schur, you have the fifth pick in our draft.
Well, obviously things haven't gone at all the way we thought they would. There's a lot of GMs throwing a lot of paper up in the air and throwing up their arms like, what is going on here? I mean, I can't believe that I get to make my number one pick too, drafting fifth. But obviously I have to take Christmas Eve in Sarajevo. It's one of the great songs of all time. Forget about holiday music.
Wait, it was taken. Oh, I'm sorry.
No. You're kidding me.
No. Bad break.
Brandon took it. Oh, my God. This is devastating. I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Now what? Now where do you go?
I think I just trade down. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, that's a blow.
All right. Give me a second. I got to collect my. Yeah. I thought I had Christmas Eve in Sarajevo sitting there ready. I thought everyone had overlooked it.
All right.
I thought no one had taken it just because it's complete garbage. I thought for sure that because it's literally like a sonic nightmare, like it's like that when you hear it, like you get a headache, like a tension headache immediately. I thought that meant that no one would take it because Now I don't know what to do. I mean,
yeah, no, now it's tough.
All right. I'm going to take, instead of the song I'd like to take, which is Christmas Eve in Sarajevo, one of the worst pieces of art ever created in any genre by any human being in the history of the length of time that humans have walked the planet, like dating back to like cavemen, like making rock statues or whatever. Like, it's literally one of the five, I would say, worst pieces of art in any medium that any humans have ever created with their brains. I guess I'll take a good song. I don't know. All right. I'm going to take, I'm a little bit of a, most of the traditional holiday songs are kind of boring to me. We've all heard them a million times. You hear them in every store for like 2 months now. There is one version of one classic song that I truly love that truly makes me kind of feel like the holiday spirit is alive. And that is the Harry Simeone chorale version of The Little Drummer Boy.
Okay.
So I'm going to take that one. It's the one, if you don't know which one it is, it's the really, really quiet kind of slow one that has it's like a choir singing it instead of like just a single person singing it. It's, I don't know why that one is always, I've always loved that version of that song. So I'm taking that song.
Okay. I believe Linda's not a huge fan of that choice, but before I get to that, because you took that one version of Little Drummer Boy, you get all of them, right? That like, that's the deal. That's the deal.
I don't want any of the other
ones. You have them. That's my point. My point is you get every horrendous version of Little Drummer Boy, which is all of them, by the way.
All right, I'll throw all those in the garbage and keep the one that I like, the one that's good.
Linda, how do you feel? How do you feel about that pick?
It's terrible. That song is terrible. And first of all, if you're going to take I won't even say that because I won't take it in case anybody takes it. But there's a much better song about humble gifts for the baby Jesus. And I feel like it really takes a particular kind of guy to be like, I'm going to take the one song that's about a drummer. Like, I don't know.
What are you implying? What particular kind of guy is that, Linda?
I don't know. A drummer. Like, I don't know. Don't bother
like Tommy
me with
Lee. It's not a song about Tommy Lee.
You don't know that. You don't know that. You don't know what kind of drummer he was going to be when he was older.
That is so true. That is so true. Never find out. Who did that guy end up being? Ringo Starr.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he ended up being.
Exactly. I mean, I can anybody honestly say like that what makes you happy is like, oh, here's someone, my baby is trying to sleep and someone is playing the drums. Perfect. Way to go. How generous of you. In real life, the thing is, in real life, Michael, you'd be upset.
That version of that song is extremely soothing and quiet. And if I were like a person who wanted my baby to have a peaceful evening, I could easily play that song and my baby would enjoy it. It's not like Neil Peart playing a crazy Rush drum solo or something.
You don't know what it was. It was a long time ago.
Why do I have to answer for all these hypotheticals of that the song create? Like, no one, you're not making anyone else do that. Whatever. Let's just move on. Let's go to round two.
I could ask questions about a real Christmas Eve in Sarajevo. I'm just not going.
I just like that Mike took the one version of Little Drummer song that downplays the drums. Like, that's my favorite part of that thing. It's sort of like, I don't like the song, but I just like that version. So, Linda, it's your pick with the, you get to kick off the second round. The first round was so successful that I think it's exciting to see what's next.
Yeah. I continue to follow my strategy. All will be revealed. My strategy requires that at this point in the draft, I take the most invigorating piece of Hollywood holiday music in existence, which is, of course, the Hallelujah Chorus from Handel's Messiah. If you have ever sung the Hallelujah Chorus with a bunch of people, you know it is the best thing to sing in the world. I can't actually sing it with a large crowd because I will cry the entire time.
Wow.
It is such a moving, transformative experience. So I am picking the Hallelujah Chorus.
So if this is a song that is so moves you that it makes you cry, how was that not your first pick?
Because I knew none of y'all were going to take it.
Oh, it's a strategic thing that you were going for.
You don't seem like choral humans to me.
I mean, come on. Sarajevo went. I mean, anything could have gone.
That's true. I didn't know what direction you were going to go. So, you know.
All right. Well, I like it. Nobody seems to have any negative thoughts about that, Linda. So you're in the clear. And we go to Brandon with the second pick. Yeah, Brandon. Yeah, you're back. Welcome back.
So out of my depth here in every form or fashion. I'm sticking only to sports and like-minded people from here on out. I don't have anywhere else to go. I have to go with, I still think at least Christmas songs are about, and holiday songs are just about the feelings they give you. So when I, growing up, I really loved Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I also want to seg this into introducing you to the worst Christmas song ever made, which isn't actually Christmas in Sarajevo. It's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer by DMX. So every night we give our daughter a bath and we've been teaching her Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and she's learning it and starting to sing it and it's great. So that's a wonderful memory that I'll have. And then when we give her bath, we let Spotify play a playlist of Christmas songs that we don't choose. And apparently DMX this year decided to release his own version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And it is the worst thing that it's ever. It will be the one takeaway that all listeners of this podcast will go find. And that will be the takeaway is, oh my God, what is this? And how bad are his actual legal troubles that he has to release this to pay for something?
What is the best version of Rudolph in your mind? Is it the classic sort of thing?
I can't pick one actual artist rendition of it. I'd say probably whatever version my daughter's singing is great because that's the one that'll create memories for me going on, but this is definitively the worst.
Well, I will say, by the way, I think it's a really good pick, and I also think it's good after the disastrous first pick to hide behind your daughter. I think that's the best call you could possibly make. Alan, do you have some thoughts on Rudolph?
I just want to say that I really think that former Yankees ace Brandon McCarthy has made two excellent picks so far in this draft, and I endorse them both.
This is disgusting. This is the lowest you've ever stooped.
I think it's a good pick. I think it's a good pick. I think it's classic. I think it's, you know, plus, so we were just.
It's classic. It came out like 2 weeks ago.
No, not the DMX version of Rudolph.
Well, that's what he's taking, though. Then no, he's taking it specifically taking the DMX.
All the
version.
Other versions. He does it. That's the worst version. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong, Brandon?
The worst version of any Christmas song ever is contained in that song.
But right.
Since we're taking the whole song, you get every version of Little Drummer Boy ever. So that's, you've got to own all of them.
You have to own all of them. That's right. No, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. By the way, that song, like, it made me think that reindeer are terrible.
Right.
Terrible.
They're terrible.
They're bullies and mean and vicious. And every time they've done this, there's Donner. And yeah, Donner was a jerk. Like, they were all jerks, except Rudolph. All right, Mike. D, you have the third pick in the second round. What do you think, by the way, of Rudolph?
Firstly, yes, I've heard the DMX version. I kind of love it, but I see, yeah, it's bad, but I actually think it's great. But it's so bad, it's great. But the one thing about Rudolph is that it's just a little confusing in the beginning, because they say that Rudolph is the most famous reindeer of all, yet they assume you know all the other ones and then ask if you can recall Rudolph.
That is a good point. That is a very strong point.
If he's the most famous of all, why are you questioning that we would even not remember who he was?
That's an awesome thing. That would be like starting the Jackson 5 song with like Jermaine and the others. Do you remember Mike? All right, Mike D, you have your second pick. We're excited.
Okay. This one, I just got to go with my heart. It's a song that I'll never skip if it comes on. I love it. It's Christmas Wrapping by The Waitresses.
Wow, I don't believe I even know what that is. What are you talking about?
Are you kidding?
Oh, you know it. You know it.
I'm sure I've heard
it. You've heard it.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. All right.
You've heard it. You've heard it for sure. It's like a Christmas, it's like a Hallmark Christmas movie in like 4 minutes. It's, you know, it's this woman who's, she's too busy for Christmas. She's going to spend it alone this year. Yeah, yeah.
When you said rapping, I literally started thinking it was a rap song. That's what I was.
No, thinking. No. Well, it's kind of like, you know, it's an 80s version of Blondie style rap, but I just love it. I think it's just she's saying, she starts off by saying "Bah humbug," but that's too strong.
Yeah.
So she's pretending like she wants to be alone for Christmas, but you can tell she doesn't. And then it all works out. Fate brings her and the guy together. It's like a Hallmark Christmas movie, which is another draft we should do, because there are some fantastic ones.
If we can't do that. We can't. If we had a Hallmark Christmas movie or a Hallmark family movie, Linda would so destroy the rest of us. It wouldn't even be close.
I mean, have you ever seen Single Santa Seeks Mrs. Claus,
yep,
starring Steve Guttenberg and Crystal Bernard from Wings? That is the greatest. To me, that's the Room of Christmas movies.
Do you know it has a sequel?
Yes. Meet the Santas. Yeah.
Can I ask a real quick question here? What the hell is happening right now?
I am bonding with various members of this draft.
That's a great movie. We're actually having a staff-wide screening of it after our show tonight.
Yeah.
Our third annual year of doing that. That good.
I don't even know what to say. I mean, we've lost control.
Anyway, Christmas Wrapping, that's my pick.
I think it's a good pick. I think it's a good pick. I don't know if it is or not. Alan, you have the fourth pick in the second round.
Well, I'm kind of tempted to go with the other Christmas Wrapping with an R by Curtis Blow, just, you know, to
that's a great
so
one.
Good.
But,
so good.
I'm gonna see, maybe that'll be on the board for the third round. I'm really disappointed, Joe, that you're just emceeing and not participating in this draft, because since I'm going full heel on the podcast, I was going to steal this one out from under you. I got to take it anyway. And that's the Bruce Springsteen version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Now, you know, you get all of them. You get all the Santa Clauses that Coming to Town.
That's fine. I have no problem with the song. It's just the Springsteen version is definitely the best of those, because it's Bruce Springsteen, and especially because it's Clarence Clemens saying, you know, you better be good for goodness sake, in that incredibly supernaturally deep voice of his. It makes me happy every time. And I was listening to it in the car the other day with my kids, because they just want the Christmas station on from now until the holiday. And when Bruce starts laughing, my son said, they should have edited that out. I guess he just wanted it in there, huh?
you know, the first time my daughters heard that song, the Springsteen version of that song, we were in a car. We were actually, you know, going to one of those parks where you can see the Christmas lights and everything else. And then we were playing Christmas music, and that came on, and their first response was, oh, his voice is terrible. That guy's terrible. This was my they were a little girl, and I kicked them out of the car, and they're fine now. But yeah, it's a great song. It's a great song. All right. Well, Bruce Springsteen, with the with the fourth pick. Very good. Very good pick. Mike, sure. You have the fifth pick. I was actually just going to say something about you still screaming at me last week for not taking Bruce Springsteen. So there's, it's the second straight week I don't get the Springsteen.
I also,
well, I'm trying to join the BBWAA. So,
oh yeah, they're throwing me out of that league. That's done. That's done.
For the record, I literally can't believe that I got made so much fun of for picking Little Drummer Boy, and no one's making fun of Alan for choosing Santa Claus to Come Into Town, which is a terrible song. It's a terrible song. I feel like no one wants to say it because no one wants to make fun of Bruce Springsteen because you're all in the tank for Springsteen. But that song stinks.
Song
stinks, and that version stinks. And to say otherwise is to just ignore the plain reality.
I make fun of Alan about a lot of other things, so I decided I would give him a break on this.
I am being unfairly like ostracized from this draft.
Wait, you went into a 5-minute Brandon.
He chose a Trans-Siberian Railroad song as his number one pick. Someone had to do that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I'm not saying you were wrong.
All right. I'm going to choose. I'm going to go slightly off the board, I guess, is what you would say. But I'm choosing You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. Ooh. From which is the best Christmas special, the best by far, the best TV special that you look forward to every year. That song is wonderful. The guy who sings it has a voice that's lower than any human's voice should ever be. And the crazy thing about it is it's legit funny. Like, the lyrics are legitimately funny. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul. He then says, I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole, which is one, like, it's like 39 feet isn't enough. You have to add another 6 feet on there. He has termites in his smile. He has all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile. Like, all of the little weird images are so evocative and wonderful. And the imagery is so great. And it's the song that I find my, even though it's like the opposite of, I think I like, because it's like the opposite of a holiday song. It's like a, it's talking about an awful person who hates the holidays, and while he's singing it, you're watching the Grinch walk around and like steal things from people. So it's my favorite Christmas special, and that song to me puts it over the top. Linda says she has a thing on this song. Let's go to Linda.
She does. Linda, what do you have to say about this?
Well, I love it. This is a great pick.
It's a great pick.
And I just wanted to say that I wrote an analysis for NPR about whether the things that are said in You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch constituted defamation legally. and that whole thing, you can find it on, you can find it at NPR.org. It's from the law firm of Who and Who. It's true.
And what do we think? Does it constitute?
Yeah, most of it is probably not actionable because it would be considered opinion. But
sure.
When you say termites in your smile, that's kind of like, it used to be automatic defamation if you implied someone had a sexually transmitted disease. So you're getting a little bit close to that, like, you know, scandalous things you can't say about people.
However, you would have to say the Grinch is a public figure.
Yes, right? Exactly. So that's part of the analysis. Yep. Yeah.
By the way, is it not Boris Karloff that sings the song? Is that not true? I know Boris Karloff is the voice of the Grinch.
I don't think it is, and I forget who it is. But I'm not
sure. The name attributed to it is Thurl Ravenscroft, which is wonderful. Thurl. Wow. I'm not sure if that's the songwriter or the singer.
No, I think that's the singer. I think that's the singer.
Thurl Ravenscroft. That's an awesome name.
Yeah, it's like a Game of Thrones name.
I can only think of one other Thurl. Remember Thurl Bailey? The Utah Jazz? Yeah. So that's, Thurl's a great name. I love it. I think it's a great pick. I will just step out and say I think it's a great pick. I think it's a steal at the bottom of the second round. I'm actually surprised it didn't go earlier. It's a fantastic, fantastic pick. All right, Linda, you have you can kick off our third round.
Well, first of all, I'll just say Thurl Ravenscroft, also the guy who said they're great for Tony the Tiger.
Hey.
Wow.
Yes.
All right, we're doing a whole podcast on Thurl Ravenscroft.
We're going to have him on as a guest next time.
So my strategy going into this draft was that you had to get like a straight up carol, like a straight up Christmas right. carol. That was my joy to the right. world. You have to get like a sacred Christmas song if you happen to celebrate Christmas, as I do. So that was my hallelujah chorus. And then you need your Christmas pop song, for which I chose the K-Star recording of Everybody's Waiting for the Man with the Bag. Yeah. Which is fantastic. And I found, and I got to know on a compilation album called Yule, Y-U-L-E, Yule Be Swingin'. and so I strongly recommend that album, that song. That is one of the best pop songs, I think, ever of almost any kind in terms of like classic swinging pop songs. So that's a super, super, super favorite.
You know what? Lots of people have thoughts on this, Linda. So Mike, what is your thought? Mike D.
Oh, I just wrote very nice pick.
Oh, that's all? You don't have actually more than that?
It's a great song.
Great song. Alan, what do you think?
I think it's a really good song. I also know of Linda's deep and abiding love for it, and I was sorely tempted to take it in the second round to take it away from her.
You should have.
But I'm not mad at Linda, because Linda never told me I should rot in hell, so that's why I didn't do it.
That you know of, I didn't.
I believe when Linda was on this podcast and we were talking a little bit about the Yankees, your name was brought up more than one time by all of us. I'm pretty sure. But all right, that's all right. Look, I'm just saying, you take the pick in the second round and then you can trade like the Browns do. You can trade it up. You can get two picks or something for it. So that was your miss. All right.
And how's that worked out for the Browns so far, Joe?
You know, I can do a little Browns update for you if you want. I can do the whole thing and tell you exactly how it's worked out. Let's go to Brandon. Brandon, second pick.
Third pick.
Second pick in the third round, if I meant.
So my strategy has been the first pick. I obviously went way off the board, but there's so much future value in that pick. I want to make sure nobody else took it. You'll all be laughing when that song is still being used in commercials 300 years from now. It'll keep paying off for me. I trust that. Third round pick, I'm going to go with Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Nice.
The actual version, I would probably take Sinatra, but I think it's dealer's choice there. I think there's so many good versions of it. It can play in the background of everything. You can play it during Christmas dinner. You can play it in the background. It doesn't matter. It just always is good. So that's my pick.
You know, if you had just done this draft in reverse.
Totally.
And that had been your first pick, and then second pick was fine, and then you're off the board, it's the third round, you want to take your Trans-Siberian song, nobody would care. Just do it. All you have to do in reverse, because that is a total steal in the third round. That is a great, great song.
I want to make sure. I know people can't be listening to these podcasts all the way to the end, so it's like I want to get that in that first 30 minutes before they just like
that. You know what?
That is a very fair point. That is a very fair point.
Yeah.
All right, we all agree that's a great pick, right? Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, mm-hmm, great song. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. I got nothing.
was that just Linda saying "aha" four times, like pretending to be everybody else?
Yes. That was me representing consensus. I also recommend the Judy Garland version is also lovely.
I recommend the Cat Power version, by the way, for the record. There's a great Cat Power version of that song if anyone's into like.
I don't think
Mike has heard of any music before like 1995.
What are you, Kenny
what
Loggins?
Are you talking about?
He knows all about Kenny Loggins.
Go ahead.
All right. Mike DiCenzo with your third pick
in
the draft.
First of all, that was a great pick. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, which is one of the few songs that when you sing it, it sounds beautiful. And when you just say Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, sounds like the most sarcastic dickhead thing to say.
That is so true. Yeah, you have yourself a merry little Christmas, pal.
Now at the end, are we going to be able to shout out like our ones that we didn't pick?
Yeah, no, we're going to go through one more round where you just throw out ones that you did, that you wanted to get to.
All right. So I'll just go straight to my pick. I have to do it because he's my number one favorite person of all time is Bob Dylan and his Christmas album, Christmas in the Heart, and his song Must Be Santa. It's insane. It's like an accordion polka version of Must Be Santa. It's raspy, mid-2000s Bob Dylan. The best part about it is the actual music video for it.
Yes.
You know it? It's
I do. It's the, I told Bob Boylan from All Songs Considered that my favorite thing about it is that in that video, Bob Dylan looks like Tom Petty's aunt.
That is a perfect way of putting it. Yeah, he's wearing like a weird top hat and he's got long blonde wig. And it's just crazy because it's basically a house party where everyone is dancing and singing and playing accordion and singing Must Be Santa. And then at about a minute 30 in, it cuts to an exterior shot of the house on like a shaky cam and you can only faintly hear the music. So it's like, wait, what the hell is going on? Who's watching this? And then it turns into this crazy madcap chase where an intruder is throwing bottles at people, swinging from chandeliers. It ends with him diving through a plate glass window and then you see Santa and Bob Dylan stare at each other and shrug. It's insane. You have to watch it like four times to like figure out what just happened. And it's just, in the meantime, it's just this, it's just a crazy upbeat, fun song. It's Bob Dylan. He's my favorite. So I had to do a Bob Dylan song. So that's my pick.
All right. You know what? I have not seen the video, so I'm going to reserve judgment until I see the video, which I will very soon. But if like, are you picking this just because of your love of Bob Dylan? I mean, or do you really believe this is one of the greatest Christmas songs ever? Or is this just...
It's a fantastic song. It's very upbeat and fun. And yet, but yes, because I love Bob Dylan. And if he ever listened to this podcast, I'd be remiss.
Well, he's a regular. He's a regular listener. He wrote in last week. He was very upset about Brandon's dismissal of his performance in We Are the World video.
Did you ever see, by the way, did you ever see his the video of him recording his take?
No.
It's a 9-minute video. It's just like a weird, it's not even supposed to exist, but it's 9 minutes of him singing the same line over and over again. And every time, like, you know, Stevie Wonder and Lionel Richie are like, oh, that was great. Great take, Bob. And he's like, no, got to do it again. And he just does it. Like, it's very interesting to watch. It's about 9 minutes of him singing the same line over and over
again. That's so awesome that that was the best version of it that actually appeared in the video. Really strong.
It was worth all those takes if you got to that.
Just to get that on video, for sure. All right, Alan, you have your third pick.
All right. Well, this is technically, am I right, a holiday song draft and not a Christmas song
it
draft?
It is. Holiday.
I got to rep my tribe here with my last pick, and I'm going to go with the Hanukkah Song by Adam Sandler. As a piece of musicianship, it's certainly not on par with a lot of the other things that have been taken here today. But just sort of as, you know, the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, and especially having raised some kids in some places where there were not a lot of other Jews, to be able to put on that song and hear about all the, you know, the wonderful famous Jewish people who are out there, it's nice, and I'm very glad that that exists.
All right, it's a terrible pick. It's just awful, and I feel like as the only other Jew on this podcast, I can say, if you're going to take a Hanukkah song and you don't take dreidel, then you're not really even representing anybody.
Here's the reason. The dreidel song has lyrical problems. It has at no point does it, even though it has rhymes for in, the words do not contain spin. How do you do that when you're writing a song about a dreidel? And it's talking about a leg so short and thin, it doesn't have a leg, it's a top. I have strong dreidel feelings, Joe. Don't test me.
Also, as a person who is half Jewish, I will also say that the with dreidel I will play is a terrible, like, for goodness sake. And also, by the way, as a person who's half Jewish by blood, the Hanukkah song, I was like right in the sweet spot age wise for that when it came out, and I loved it. And also, I like that he mentions people who are half Jewish. I was like, hey, that's like me. I'm half Jewish.
Paul Newman, right? No, who are the two half Jews that make one fine looking Jew?
Paul Newman and Goldie Hawn, I think.
Goldie Hawn, that's right. Paul Newman and Goldie
Harrison
Hawn.
Harrison Ford's a quarter Jewish, not too shabby.
Not too shabby. Yep. By the way, Rod Carew, not Jewish. He gets prominent mention in the song for having converted, but he did not actually convert. So big problem with the song right there. Sorry.
Hmm.
It's not a bad pick. I just wanted to get the dreidel thing out there. Michael Shore, you get to wrap up the official first annual holiday song draft.
Obviously got to go Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
No.
I'm kidding. It's a joke.
If Brandon had taken it, we wouldn't have thought it was a joke.
Brandon almost accidentally did what I did in the We Are the World draft, which is draft all of the worst songs instead of all the best songs. He's off to a very strong start. If Brandon had gone from Christmas Eve in Sarajevo to Grandma's Got Run Over by a Reindeer to whatever that Chipmunks song is that they play, he would have shot the moon. He would have won the draft by choosing the three worst.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're all very mean people. Very mean.
There's a lot of meanness on here. That is true.
If I was mean, I would have taken the man with the bag, Linda, and I didn't.
Oh, quiet you.
Yeah, first of all, that's true. And second of all, I took Little Drummer Boy, a beautiful song, and then you, Linda, yelled at me.
No, that's true.
So let's not talk about who's mean here.
No, that's
here.
True, I did. That's true.
I have two good choices, actually three very good choices. But I think I'm gonna go with Christmas and Hollis by Run DMC.
Oh, nice.
Now, very good. It's a great song, first of all, just straight up. But Run DMC was my favorite rap group of all time for most of the time that I was growing up. And that song, I love that song so much, and that song was so formative for me that when I every chance I have had to add it to something I have written, I have done so. So it was in I wrote The Office, an episode of The Office in season two that was about a Christmas Yankee swap in The Office. And as the party got going, I had Kevin play that. I chose that song. And we had to work really hard to get the rights because they didn't want to give us the rights. And I was like, no, it kind of has to be that song. By the way, it's also in Die Hard, which is a huge, huge check mark in its favor. It went into Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I had never got it into Parks and Recreation, but I always wanted to. But it's just like, to me, it's like, so fun and festive and great, and it's one of the only modern new songs like after the kind of like classic whatever Nat King Cole, Sinatra, Dean Martin that I consider to be like a true classic, like a song that's like if you were making a classic holiday song category, that song goes in it for me. So that's my third pick.
That's a great pick. I think it's just such a fantastic pick. Alan, what do you think?
Well, Mike kind of stole my thunder by mentioning that it's in Die Hard, which gives us bonus points because, as we all know, Die Hard is the greatest Christmas movie of all time.
Sure. Sure.
And Joe Flacco is not an elite quarterback. Those are the two dumbest debates on the internet are is Joe Flacco an elite quarterback and is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
That's what about the hot dog? Is the hot dog a sandwich? Is that
that's pretty that's, bad. That's pretty dumb.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great pick. I think it's a great pick. I think actually across the board, everybody seems to believe that's a great pick. So now, as we wrap this up, we will go down the list and you will just tell us some thoughts and some songs maybe you wanted to pick. Linda, you get to start.
I want to start first by just mentioning that I became a fan of Brandon because of a tweet during the Super Bowl when they did the commercial for God Made a Farmer, that commercial. And there was a tweet that said, that does it. I'm going out tomorrow and buying a farmer, which I thought was so that's the first thing I want to say. Other Christmas songs I almost picked. There's an unbelievably corny Harry Connick Jr. song called When the Heart Finds Christmas.
Oh,
and if
I've heard
you
that.
Listen to it, you will understand what life was like decades ago. I also love What Are You Doing New Year's Eve. I also love there's an Alison Moyet version of the Coventry Carol that I love. And there is a really funny song by Bare Naked Ladies about labor conditions for elves, which is called Elf's Lament. And it's very funny. So those are a bunch of the ones that I almost picked, but this draft is so fun and awesome. And a lot of good picks, except for Little Drummer Boy.
You guys are so mean. Brandon, what, how would you wrap it up, Brandon? What do you think?
And it's funny you mentioned that tweet. There are like three people in the Midwest that I really angered with that tweet, and I still hear from them every few months. I never blocked them, never muted, because I find the comedy of it, them not understanding what I said, so funny.
Yeah.
and they still update.
I quoted it on our podcast where I believe I gave you full credit as some athlete. So
I think that's his name. I mean, yeah. That's really what he goes by most of the time.
Yeah, you weren't wrong.
Yeah. Got it. All right, Brandon. What did you miss out on with your I can't say this with a straight face. What did you miss out on with your picks?
I didn't miss anything. Anything by Amy Grant. I love.
I was going to say you're in Amy Grant fan.
Yeah, I knew nobody's going to take it. Like her song "Breath of Heaven" is Christmas to me, which is again my musical taste. But like I think it was always playing in our household when she originally released that album. Over Christmas, I think my parents really liked it, so like that just stuck in my head as that sounds like Christmas. Same with Ave Maria, which isn't even a Christmas song, but it feels like it's always played around the holidays. I don't know. Those are the two songs that I didn't want to draft, but I feel like they mean Christmas to me.
See, Brandon, you would have taken a lot less heat if you had taken the Amy Grant song with the first pick. I think people would have you would have been able to explain it that way, and people would get it. But I'd also say this. You love this whole thing started because I tweeted out something like on November 9th or something. And I said, I went to the mall and all I heard was holiday music and it's November 9th. And this is ridiculous. And you responded by saying it is ridiculous. Christmas music start in August, right? That is what you tweeted out. And Michael Shore tweeted out in response to that this was the worst take in the history of the world, right? Is that Michael? Is that
something like that? Yeah, just like along those lines. In a sea of bad takes on Twitter, that one really stood. That one like glowed white hot.
It glowed red. It glowed. So you are the inspiration for this whole thing. So I guess I would just ask you, because I don't feel like we've gotten this. You do. You really truly do love holiday music. Is that fair to say?
I do. I like the idea of it playing. Like, I don't know all the songs. I don't dig into all of them, but I just like when it's playing because it means like, oh, we're getting to Christmas. And that's like the mark. Like, Christmas is the highlight of the winter for me. And then, I guess July 4th. It's like those are the two markers in the year. You're aiming to one or the other. I don't – Thanksgiving and Halloween and everything else in fall, I don't – so it's like at least I know we're getting close. So if you started playing that right as the days start getting shorter, right at summer end, I'm happy with that. Then I know we're aiming towards Christmas. And then it's all good.
Just like you have the vernal equinox on or around September 22nd, and then basically the next day as the first day where the night is shorter than the day, you go right to Christmas. Basically,
cue it up. That next day, you get out on your ladder, you put up your Christmas lights, you play the music. I want Christmas lights when you're trick or treating. It's just Christmas year round almost.
All right.
That take doesn't get any better, but still, but I respect it. And again, I want to at least share the blame with you for this whole thing. Mike D, did you come out of this thing because you came in as the favorite? You feel like you came out of this thing with the draft you wanted?
I did. I actually got my top three picks. I got all of them. So
wow.
And my number four pick was actually going to be Christmas and Hollis. If any, my other one off the board, and my note under it was just, it's just fun. So I totally agree. Great pick.
That's awesome.
For sure.
What else you got on the board?
I'll just shout out some other ones. Father Christmas by the Kinks. Just a fantastic song. The Christmas Song, which has the audacity to call itself the Christmas Song and yet still back it up.
I kind of was surprised that the Christmas Song didn't go. The Christmas Song is pretty
It's almost
strong.
Like too obvious, yeah,
I guess. But
it's
a good song.
It's great.
It's a good song. And it's a good song in a lot of versions. I mean, I like the Nat King Cole classic version, but there are like lots of versions. It's a good song. I'm surprised that one didn't go.
Marshmallow World. Marshmallow World by Dean Martin, just because my dad loves Dean Martin. I've heard it about 50,000 times. But it's just so – the more you listen to it, the drunker he sounds. You could almost like – if you listen closely, you could taste the whiskey on that song. It's just – he slurs like entire lines. It's fantastic. And then I'll just run off a few other – The Secret of Christmas, deep cut, Ella Fitzgerald, but it has one of the best Christmas lyrics, which is The Secret of Christmas is not the things you do at Christmas time. It's the Christmas things you do all year through.
Oh, very touching.
Fantastic. And then – on the other end of the spectrum, Happy Holiday, which has maybe the weirdest lyric. It's the holiday season, so whoop-de-doo and dickory-dock, don't forget to hang up your sock. because just exactly at 12 o'clock, he'll be coming down the chimney down. That makes sense.
That is horrifying, is what that is, actually.
As long as we're talking about this, can I make a statement about the Christmas song? Because the Nat King Cole version specifically is a favorite of mine, but I think it gets dinged for having a really cheap lyric, which is, "And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although
for
it's been
real,
said many times in the way, Merry Christmas to you. He just chose 92 because it rhymes with you. That's cheap. There's no 90. Yep. That's absurd. You know what I mean? I feel like the song to me loses a massive amount of credibility when they just shoehorn in the imaginary age of a guy as 92 as if that's meaningful in some way.
Let the hate flow through you, Michael. That is a true fact right there.
It's and then it's not great. Yes, right. One more.
I'll just mention a couple other real quick. Feels Like Christmas from the Muppets Christmas Carol soundtrack by the Ghost of Christmas Past. Who Took the Merry Out of Christmas by the Staple Singers, really good. 2,000 Miles by the Pretenders, really good. Party for Santa Claus by Lord Nelson. Look all these up. They're fantastic. And the worst one ever is Department Store Santa by Howard Morris. Check it out. It might be worse than DMX's Rudolph. Check it out.
You know, I mentioned to a bunch of people, I did our Twitter show earlier today, and everybody who does this Twitter show, except for me, is like younger than 28, probably. They're all kids. They're just a bunch of very cool kids who run this show. There are like five or six of them. And I mentioned to them, hey, we're doing this thing. We're going to pick the best holiday songs. We're going to draft them. Every one of them, all right, there are five people in the room. Every one of them said, oh, that Mariah Carey song is going to go number one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And nobody even considered taking that Mariah Carey song.
I think it's too overplayed. It's a good song.
I think it's because we're old. I really think that's what it is. I think it's not. Mm. I mean, I don't mean all of you are old. You're all younger than me, but it's. I think the kids would have gone for Mariah Carey. It's what I'm saying. I just think
it is a glaring omission.
It feels that way. It feels
that way.
Well,
the kids aren't listening to this, so we're good.
Nobody's listening. We're worried about that. Alan, what do you think? How'd you do?
I think I did pretty well. I mean, I didn't do as well as former Yankees ace Brandon McCarthy, but I did make a number of picks I'm satisfied with. I'm glad that Mike D mentioned Father Christmas by the Kinks, because that would have been my next one. I love that. If I hadn't gotten the Darlene Love Song, I would have taken Sleigh Ride by the Ronettes. Christmas Time Is Here by the Vince Guaraldi Trio from the Charlie Brown Christmas. I would have thought about River by Joni Mitchell if I'm feeling really sad. Let's see. I mentioned Christmas Wrapping by Curtis Blow. Those are some of them right there. And What Christmas Means to Me by Stevie Wonder.
Nice. Those are all good picks. There are a lot of good holiday songs that just did not get chosen in this draft. Michael Shore, how do you feel like you did, despite what Linda has to say about Little Drummer Boy?
Very, very happy with my draft. There were so many songs that I love and that I just didn't get to choose. I'll just run through some of them right now. Christmas Canon by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Wizards in Winter by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Christmas Day by Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Promises to Keep by Trans-Siberian Orchestra. What Child Is This? The Trans-Siberian Orchestra version. Backrest of the Merry Gentleman by Trans-Siberian Orchestra. What else? The Ghost of Christmas by Trans-Siberian Orchestra. It's great. Sure. Siberian Sleigh Ride, of course, by Trans-Siberian Orchestra. That's probably my favorite. Christmas Dreams by Trans-Siberian Orchestra. An Angel Came Down, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra version as well. Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Boy, what else? A Star to Follow by Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Faith No Well.
Sure.
An Angel Returned by Trans-Siberian Orchestra. The Silent Nutcracker by Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Christmas Nights in Blue by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. First Snow by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Queen of the Winter Night by Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And then I would say, I thought those were all going to be gone by the time I drafted, but if I had to take one more, it'd probably be Find Our Way Home by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. That's probably
sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Now, do people who love the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, do they say Trans-Siberian Orchestra every time, or do they call them like TSO?
I don't know. There's only one fan of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and it's Brandon. So why don't we just
Brandon,
ask?
Brandon, why do you guys refer to the band of choice?
Aren't they in concert all the time? It's like them, Mannheim Steamroller. Don't they do packed concerts all over the country? I can't be on my own here with this.
No, they're huge. That's not a joke. Trans-Siberian Orchestra is so big, there are two of them traveling the country at all times.
Really?
Great.
Selling out.
Do you do sold out concerts all over the country, Michael Schur?
No, I don't. Fair enough. Fair. I'll take that hit. I do not.
Me neither.
I will say though, in all seriousness, the my fourth pick was going to be Run Run Rudolph by Chuck Berry.
Oh yeah.
I feel like that's the good Rudolph song. It's not Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, another song Brandon chose. That one stinks. Run Run Rudolph is actually good. And then if I had one more pick after that, it would have been Christmas in New Orleans by Louis Armstrong,
which is a
great old favorite of mine. Those are my two non-Trans-Siberian Orchestra picks that I would have made.
What? Ooh, what? By the way, Trans-Siberian Orchestra is horrendous. I'm sorry. They are. They're terrible.
Why have you guys waited so long to say that? I don't.
Say it on every podcast before it's done, but I think he's been cutting that part out, right, Michael? I mean, don't we usually do haven't we ended like instead of one last meaningless thing, like why Trans-Siberian Orchestra sucks? Like, don't we do that?
Yeah, like this week's reason why no one should ever listen to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. It's been we ended up cutting it for time, but we do it every week.
Every week.
Linda says she has one more thing to say after I did my wrap up.
I want to hear what Linda has to say. Linda?
No, I have one more thing I wanted to add, which is that I think in general, it's important that everyone listen to the Phil Spector Christmas album, which we have talked about a few times, but also especially the part during Silent Night when Phil Spector starts talking is the weirdest and creepiest part of any Christmas album ever. And I talked to Darlene Love once and I asked her about that. And she was like, yeah, we didn't know he was going to do that. He just like, we were listening to it later and it was like, why is he talking? So that's my favorite part of the Phil Spector Christmas album is when Phil Spector
starts
talking.
I love that. You know which one I thought was going to get taken? I thought somebody was going to go for the Ray Charles version of Winter Wonderland. You guys know that
one? That's a good one.
That's really good. Really strong. Because that's
I'll only add one more thing too, which is that by taking Little Drummer Boy, which I was roundly mocked for no reason at all, I also get the David Bowie Bing Crosby version, which is the weirdest and funniest and coolest like piece of video that's it exists around holiday time. So take that, you jerks.
If you had led with that, I wouldn't have made fun of you. If you'd said I want it because of this funny, weird David Bowie, you know, Bing Crosby thing, then I would not have made fun of you.
It just feels like a late round pick. It just doesn't feel like a first round pick to me. I think you just reached. That's all I'm saying. I think you just reached.
All right.
But look, I can't believe we made it through this thing. That's really the only thing that amazes me about this whole draft is that we actually made it through this thing. So, Linda?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Have
yourself a merry little Christmas, pal.
Yeah, that's how this should end, Joe.
You have yourself a merry little Christmas.
No, Joe. You have yourself a merry little Christmas. Brandon, you know, I really did want to ask you, seriously, I mean, Atlanta, I mean, it's a new team, a new thing. Like, this is tough, right? I mean, you've done some of this moving around before, but I mean, what's your thoughts kind of coming into this?
I haven't even had a chance to really process it. We went to the mountains for a couple of days and we were away from Wi-Fi and cell service and everything. So this, of course, life had to go completely upside down. But if I was there for a couple more years or it was like a long-term thing, then you'd be like, okay, this is really crazy. But a one-year thing, you're kind of used to the silliness of this job as inherently silly as it is. So someone just telling you, hey, you don't work here anymore, but we found somewhere else for you immediately is just pretty fitting.
It's so weird.
Can I give you a piece of advice, buddy?
I do want to hammer home that I hope after all you've given me, I can't be more glad that Stanton is now on the Yankees.
Yes! And
I
hope that in Chicago.
I'm going to facilitate it.
I'm not a professional athlete, but I like when you get to the new city, just get all the guys around and maybe go see a concert, you know, take them all out to a concert.
Oh my God.
I don't know who's playing. If you're lucky, maybe one of the two Trans-Siberian Orchestras will be in town and just take them all out and just have a good time. Or maybe Amy Grant will be around. I don't know. Just it's a way to just like, you know, bond with your fellow teammates.
The great thing about this, Brandon, in all seriousness, is you'll be in Atlanta, which is just a couple hours away from where I live, so I'll get to come down and just see you. I know that makes you happy, that I'll get to come down and hang out with you.
We can do these things in person, so we can just look at each other and realize, what are we doing?
You know what? Just you and I will just rip, sure, the entire time. We'll just rip him. Michael DeCenzo, thank you so much for joining us. Do you see how I moved on to that? Yeah. Mike, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. You have anything good? You have anything good, exciting coming up? Like, you know, I know the Tonight Show, you guys, you keep doing these, like, things, skits, stuff. I don't know what to say. Just leave it open for you to say something.
We have a 2-week break coming up, which that is the most exciting thing.
Wow.
And then we're going to the Super Bowl. So that's going to be exciting.
That's awesome. And you're not a huge football fan, right?
We don't get to watch the Super Bowl or any of the fun stuff. We have to, well, it's fun to put on a show, but.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm saying you'll be doing some Super Bowl jokes, I assume. I mean, right? You'll be having fun with the Super Bowl. But Mike is a gigantic Seattle Mariners fan. I want to make that point because I just think that's so cool. You've never lived in Seattle. You have no connection to Seattle. Why? Oh, because of Ken Griffey, right?
It was all Griffey as a child. Yep.
That's so just cool.
Stuck with them.
You know, we tried to get Linda a team.
Here we are.
Yeah. We tried to get Linda a team. Linda, did that ever take? Are you an Astros fan?
I will be next season.
I'm just not buying it. I don't think it's going to happen. I hope it does. I hope it does.
I feel like this was the year to be one.
Yeah. I know, right? I like my favorite time to jump on the bandwagon is after it goes by. And then I just like to chase it. I just like to chase after it.
Yeah. I think it's cool. All right. Well, Mike DeCenzo will welcome you as a Mariner fan if that ever interests you. So
absolutely.
Alan.
Let's go, Yankees.
I'm not. Forget it. We're skipping you. Mike. No, we're not. We're not skipping you. Alan, wrap it up for us. What do you have coming up?
Well, I'm in the putting the finishing touches on a book about the Sopranos that I'm doing with Matt Zollersites.
That's so exciting.
It's not going to be out for another year, but it's due on January 22nd, and we've only written about half of it at this point. So this will be a fun few weeks.
Nice. Nice. Can I tell them that you sent me an email? Can I tell them that you sent me an email like with a question about the book, or would that give anything away?
No, you can do it.
All right. He sent me an email. I was doing this thing on Sopranos, and I can't remember the very specific question, but it was basically and this I think does tell you we make fun of Alan a lot on the show, but it tells you the depths that he will go to make sure he gets the right analogy. He was asking me a sort of a very, very specific Springsteen question about whether a certain song, right? It was like whether a certain song was going to fit, or if it was too, like, is it the most popular version of this? Or it was something very, very specific that you were using as an analogy. And I really appreciated that you didn't just do it. You went out of your way to like go to the like non-Springsteen expert that you knew to like sort of say, hey, will this work? I thought that was cool. You do that
if
all the time.
If I have a Springsteen question, I have to go to a baseball writer. I believe that's how it works.
They're taking it away from me. They're taking it away from me.
Two drafts now, and he has zero shares of Bruce Springsteen.
Zero
so he's out.
Bruce Springsteen. He is now a baller. All right, Mike. So how would you sum up this thing?
I'd like to say a couple things here. First of all, we all gave each other a little guff.
A little guff. Yeah, there was a little.
But it was all in good fun.
Oh,
and I admire and respect all of the people who are on this insane draft. I thank them all personally for coming to and joining us and doing this. This was a lot of fun. This was a first for us to have this many people. So thank all of you. And I hope you all have very happy holidays.
Sure.
In general. That's the first thing. The second thing is the current length of this podcast is 1 hour 25 minutes, which is shorter than the average one that you and I do when we're just the two of us.
Well, I was looking at that. What does that tell you? What does that
tell you? I think it's very, very clear what it tells us. It tells us that you and I are terrible at podcasting because when we talk for way too long and it's annoying. And the third thing is I feel like what this draft has shown us is shown us a couple of things. Number one, that we should have an annual year-end crazy draft where everyone who was a guest gets to come on to come on and draft something, because that's in fun and insane. And the second thing is that the podcast in general is more fun when it's not just you and me. So I feel like with it right at the end of the year here, after only 4,000, this is our 4,001st podcast.
Right.
And I feel like we have just now truly, yes, Linda's saying, and she's correct, this is the true meaning of Christmas. And TJ, our producer, is pointing out that last week's one with just Brandon was an hour 40.
Yeah. No, so, I think your point is 100% right, though. I mean, what we really are finding out about this is that other people, when we have other people on the podcast, they're better at this than we are. So they lift this thing up way higher than we ever could ourselves.
Even just Linda, the way that Linda like researched and planned.
I know.
We've never done either of those things. We've never researched anything, nor have we planned anything.
No.
And that it was true. And also Mike D had like 50 things to say that were written, that were clearly written down. He wrote notes.
This is
my eyes have truly been opened, and I feel like it's a holiday miracle. And I thank all of you for awakening us to a way to make this thing better that we've been doing for like 11 years.
So the question is, next year, will we take this and make the podcast better?
No.
Not even the slightest chance.
No, this is as good as it gets.
This is it. Enjoy it, people. Enjoy it. Well, Michael, as always, thank you.
Joe and everyone else, thanks for having me.